It's an age of anxiety. It's an age where 60% of all young people up to the age of 25 are going to have a mental health problem that's diagnosable, 60%.
That's Dr. B. Janet Hibbs, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Dr. Hibbs has held faculty positions for more than 15 years in graduate programs for psychologist and marital and family therapist, and maintains a private practice in Philadelphia. Dr. Hibbs is the author of Try to See It My Way, Being Fair in Love and Marriage. She joins us to talk about the stressed years of their lives, helping your kids survive and thrive during their college years. She co-authored the book along with Dr. Anthony Rostain. Dr. Hibbs, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dan. Really appreciate your having me on.
Well, give us an overview of this book. What will readers find here?
Readers are going to find a unique collaboration between myself and Dr. Rostain, my co-author, who is an expert in adolescent psychiatry. My background is that of a family psychologist, and my real, you know, professional relationship that deepened with Dr. Rostain happened when I turned to him to ask him to treat my son, Jensen, who had a spiraling depression that required a medical leave from college. What that triggered for me was a series of questions like, how could I have missed this? You know, I'm in this field. And then eventually, could the lessons I learned help other parents, families, and marriages? So following my son's recovery, and then with his very generous permission, I also turned again to Dr. Rostain and asked him to co-author this book, The Stressed Years of Their Lives, in order to both reassure parents and to provide, who are obviously very frightened for their kids, and to provide solutions, strategies, you know, solidarity for parents who want to help their students to avoid or recover from a mental health problem or an alcohol use problem or just a serious setback in college. And then we also just wanted to rebalance the culture of fear and anxiety that really pervades these years while offering hope to students through the stories of their peers. So that's what we hope that readers will get out of it.
You mentioned that you, as a professional, miss the warning signs regarding your son. So what advice do you have for parents? When should they be concerned about their students' behavior? So basically what I'm asking is, how do you distinguish between what's typical behavior and signs of actual clinical disorders?
So parents should be aware of a couple of things first. One is, please discuss with your child signing a HIPAA form, which you can get at your doctor's office. You can even pull off online to be allowed to partner with the counseling professionals or a hospital should that happen, instead of feeling shut out and like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's happening. That's a federal law. That's a privacy law that begins basically when your child is 18. The other thing I would want parents to be aware of is that they may have a child like mine. 25% of college students today arrive on campus already taking a psychoactive med. And colleges do have support networks. They have college counseling centers. But students really may not even recognize when things are worsening to the point of, I'm headed down a really, you know, a really steep sliding slope here. So the warning signs are real significant changes in either sleep, appetite, unexpected weight gain or loss. Sometimes it's sleep deprivation that precipitates a mood disorder. Sometimes what looks like they're just sleeping for hours and hours and hours, which is clearly a sign of depression. But kids may just recognize this as like, oh, you know, yeah, like I'm under stress. So some of the other warning signs are increased irritability, outburst of anger, frequency of substance use, because a lot of kids, sadly, more men than women, young men, cope by abusing alcohol or drugs as a way of managing their moods. Young women more often experience anxiety and depression and sometimes cope by self-harm, like cutting, which sounds counterintuitive, like why would that make you feel better? But if you ask anyone who's ever done this, they find a rush, a slight decrease in their own anxiety. And so the sad part for many of us on the other end of this as parents is that we're not seeing these things unfold. And so my first lesson to parents is, if you have any worry, don't send your kid a plane ride away. Like, nearby is good enough. It's easier to eyeball a kid that way.
So what advice do you have for parents in helping their children prepare for going off to college and helping them deal with the stresses they'll face in college?
We have an entire chapter devoted to what we call social-emotional maturity, which are really a number of skills that young people need in order to function independently in college and then, of course, in life. And part of what we really suggest is that parents begin honest, open dialogues, not judgment, just conversations with their kids when they're in high school or even before if they have the opportunity, about things that have to do with self-management, like can you own up to your mistakes? Can you seek help when you need it? Interpersonal skills, how do you make new friends? Because college is all about making new friends. In addition to the academic side, if you don't make new friends, you're not going to be very engaged in college. It's also about managing risks. And as many parents are familiar, the adolescent brain has a kind of design flaw where we have the online stimulation, seeking stimulation, comes on board way before the frontal lobes, which basically are good judgment, good idea, bad idea, and these kinds of risk-taking. There are abundant opportunities in college to take risks that may not be in your best interest. So the harder thing that we see is that many parents don't talk to their kids about the prevalence of mental health problems in college. It's an age of anxiety. It's an age where 60% of all young people up to the age of 25 are going to have a mental health problem that's diagnosable, 60%. So we really underrepresent that. We get all focused on don't drink too much, be aware of sexual assault, and those are problems, but they're not 60% problems.
Now, you mentioned earlier that it's a good idea to fill out the HIPAA form so that you can get information. But if the parent didn't do that in advance, there are barriers. There are obviously privacy rules regarding college campuses and students' mental health. So what advice do you have for parents who are in that situation and want to be able to help their adult children?
If their adult child alerts them to, hey, mom, hey, dad, I'm going to go to the college counseling office. I'm not doing great, or my academics are really sliding and I'm just not concentrating very well. First of all, parents should say, thank you so much for telling me, and not freak out. Just be very receptive, very calm, like I really appreciate it. Hey, you know, I want to be able to give your counselor any information, his history that might be helpful. Tell them, remind them who your other docs are here back home. Would you please ask them if you can sign a HIPAA form? So the student can sign it any time, whether they've done it before they've gone to college or afterward. Many students are concerned, I don't want my parents' nose in my business. And what I would say to that is that this is not a carte blanche sign-off on your parents know everything. This is, I'm in trouble, I'm in a crisis, I'm in a hospital. And the counselor will always, or the mental health professional, or the medical professional, will always check, hey, I see that you've signed the HIPAA release. I think this is a situation in which we need to alert your parents. And they'll discuss it with the young adult. They're not just going to willy-nilly say, well, I'm just going to use this no matter what you want. They will, of course, feel obliged to use it in a situation where the student is at risk of harm to self or other. But you can institute this privacy waiver at any time.
Another thing you cover is the impact this can have on family, because not only is it stressful for your child, but it can put strains on marriages and other family relationships. So what advice do you have in that regard?
I really encourage parents to recognize that this is a early warning sign for marriages, whether it's the biological parents or whether it's step-parents. They often get in a polarized position where it's a little bit like the Goldilocks problem, like too hard, too soft, you know, tough love, oh, you're overcompensating. So parents often really disagree about, like, what tact should we take? That is one reason they should be part of the treatment team who is helping their child. And Dr. Rothstein and I are both family systems practitioners, which means we believe in the whole is more than the sum of the parts. We need to include parents. I mean, they are a part of the safety net. So parents should not be shy about saying, I'd like to participate or I'd like to know how I can help. But the other thing that I would say, there are three golden rules of parenting to assist your child if they've had a serious setback or mental health problem. One, offer unconditional support. Make it very clear that you're going to be there to support your child throughout his recovery, no matter what. Two, suspend judgments. Now is not the time to pass sentence on your young adult or say, what on earth were you thinking? You can get back to that later. Don't do it now. And the third is to set limits. So parents have to come to a better alignment of setting limits on their child. And then they also have to agree on what is a reasonable schedule of increasing responsibilities and expectations so that their child can participate in a full recovery.
Well, there's so much more in this book, obviously, we haven't had time to talk about, but Dr. Hibbs, thank you very much for spending this time with me.
Thank you so much. My pleasure, Dan.
The book by Dr. B. Janet Hibbs and Dr. Anthony Rothstein is The Stressed Years of Their Lives, Helping Your Kids Survive and Thrive During Their College Years. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet, and you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.